this is Michael Bozy. Welcome to the podcast, Marketing Without the Marketing, where I try to teach you everything that I know about content marketing 10 minutes at a time. Now, I've gone over that a little bit, actually by kind of a lot, about 20 minutes each episode over the past three episodes. But I'm in the middle of this social media strategy series, and I covered Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook so far, and I just had a ton to say about each of those. So I'll try to keep these a little tighter, but we'll see how it goes. Okay, so number four in this series, am I really going to put Google Plus in the number four position? I mean, that seems crazy, right? What about Instagram? What about Snapchat? You've heard tons about the growth of Snapchat. All right, listen, Google Plus is in the fourth position because it's still incredibly important. Don't believe everything you read about it, and definitely don't write it off. It's still a vital part of your content strategy. Seriously, just listen to this episode and give me a minute, and I'll explain why. Google Plus is probably no one's favorite platform, but it's still important. And when clients ask me, do I really have to use Google Plus? I'll cut right to the short answer, yes. Yes, you have to use Google Plus. Google is so important to everything we do online that Google is almost synonymous with the internet itself. Okay, but what does that have to do with Google Plus, which, look, at face value, kind of just seems like another failed social network, right? Well, think of Google Plus as kind of your internet ID. Google makes you use Google Plus even if you don't want it. Now, just think about what happens when people are actually searching for you. It's good to give Google all the help you can in identifying that it's actually you. And that's where Google Plus comes in. Now, Google will say that it doesn't favor Google Plus posts or your profile in search, but in my experience, that's simply not true. In tests that I've run, Google definitely favors Google Plus posts. I see this in my work with clients and in my own content strategy. And look, you can try this for yourself, right? Suppose you have a blog post and you've posted it to Google Plus. Give it a week or two, whatever. Then open an incognito window in Chrome or a private window in any other browser and do a search for one of your blog posts. Use a keyword or the title or whatever. And sometimes you're going to notice that the Google Plus post actually comes up ahead of the original article itself. Now, of course, Google wants to do this, right? They want to drive usage of their platform. They want to keep you on Google or a Google property. So of course they're going to favor it, even if they say they don't. Now, the root of this was a thing called Google authorship. Google sunset the authorship feature. I think it was late 2014 or early 2015. But that was sort of devised as a way for Google to identify you. And again, if you think about what Google wants, it's really important for them to deliver the best content when a user's searching for it. And authorship was kind of a shortcut for Google, if you will. If they could identify you as the author of an article, and you had a really good reputation built up for producing good content, then it was easier for Google to make a determination about that content, right? It's not going to be the whole story about that piece, but it certainly contributes to the story. And the biggest reason to make sure that you have all of your Google accounts in order is that it's really hard to accumulate authority. And you don't want to have your online authority split between different profiles. You want everything collected all in one place so that it's as powerful as it can be. And that starts with setting up your accounts the right way. So let's look at that. A setup is really important, and a lot of people get this wrong. I've gone through and fixed this for many clients who didn't do a proper initialization and setup on this. And to defend them a little bit, Google doesn't make this very easy. And in point of fact, it's often very complicated. But here are the basics of that. First, you start with your Gmail address, the one that you're going to use as your main Gmail address. Some people have multiple ones, but pick one that's going to be central. This part's really important. That email address and your Google Plus account will be your ID for the internet. So the next thing to do is to log into your Google Plus account using that Gmail address. And, you know, it's actually going to already be set up for you, the Google Plus account, that is. Remember, Google wants you to use Google Plus as your ID. Now, the next thing to do, and you may not get to do this right away, is to claim your custom handle. You can do this under profile. And like I said, sometimes it's not offered right away. Sometimes Google wants to see that you're actually using your account before it will offer this. What I mean for this, for instance, is like mine is plus.google.com/ and then a plus symbol, Michael Bozy. Now, for me, this is actually not that ideal because my handle everywhere else is at mbozi, at M-B-O-E-Z-I, right? So that's my Twitter handle, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram. Pretty much everywhere else, I'm mbozi. And I even wrote a note to Google explaining that, just saying, hey, look, this is who I am everywhere else online. Can you make my Google account that? And including my Gmail address, but they still wouldn't allow it. So that's the handle I have to live with. And look, it's Google's world. Google makes the rules, so that's it. But look, it doesn't matter to me that much because I don't think of Google as, you know, a primary part of my strategy, or Google Plus, I should say. Now, if it's at all possible, try to get the same handle in your YouTube account, right? Google owns YouTube. It's YouTube is another Google property. Again, mine didn't work out so great personally because I set up my YouTube account years ago under at Control Mouse for my company. But now for any clients that I work with, I try to set this up, Google Plus, YouTube, Gmail, so that it's all unified. And it's nice to have consistency across your primary channels like this because it helps Google identify that this is truly you. And again, that's important because you're accumulating authority. You want that all in one center, in one hub if you can. But also, you know, I don't think it's absolutely critical because Google knows how to identify you. It's just nice to have so that people understand that it's you. So just put in a consistent description and a picture that you use in your other social profiles. Link your Google Plus account to your YouTube account, and then put in links to your website and other social profiles. This is one thing that Google is really good about. They give you lots of spaces for links to your other web and social properties. And it only benefits you to fill that out. So Google, again, understands that all of these profiles add up to you. All right, so let's talk about the next thing, which is a Google profile versus a Google page. And everything that I've been talking about so far has to do with your profile. But like Facebook, Google Plus allows you to have both a profile for you, the person, and a page for your business or a project or whatever. And I think it's not a bad idea to create a page for your business. I mean, why not, right? It's another hook for people to find you and your business. And but look, there's some important differences between a profile and a page. For instance, you can't auto-post to a profile. Google won't allow that. And we'll get into that in just a second. But to set up your page, really simple. You just do that through your Google Plus profile. But it's also important to note that if your business is terrestrial, you know, you have an actual address for your business, Google may set one up for you automatically based on your address in Google Maps. Then it's just up to you to claim the page, and you have to do some sort of authentication to do that. But if that's the case with your business, just make sure you check for that first and then just use that one. It's way easier. Then fill out all the information. Again, put a photo in, profile, set that up, and you're good to go. Now you've got a profile and a page. So let's get into strategy then. Now, since I think of Google as just your online ID, my strategy is to just establish your presence, but then kind of minimize it. Now, look, I'm not trying to build a community on Google+. I'm just using it as a series of webhooks. And I don't want to dissuade you because it's not to say that you can't establish a community. For instance, I've had luck connecting with elementary school teachers for a client. They're really active on the platform, which is awesome. And also in Google+, there's a great network for the tech community as well. So, you know, try to find your own community there. It's just for my own business, it's not been particularly fruitful, so I don't use it for that. But I don't mean to dissuade you. Try it. Okay, but here's what I do. With every podcast or blog post, I take that post or that episode and post it once to my Google Plus profile. Now, the post itself is derived from the excerpt attached to my blog or the podcast. I'm always about making multiple uses of the same content so that you're not writing everything from scratch, right? So I take that excerpt and I also use that for my Facebook post and my LinkedIn post as well. And I usually have to make small tweaks just to make sure it fits into the context of Google+. Really important, you should do that always for any of the social platforms. But with Google+, add a couple hashtags and then post it. Now, for each article or episode of a podcast, I do just one Google Plus post. I do this for myself and for the work that I do with clients. And what I'm looking to do is just to establish one foothold on the web in the Google environment, and that's all, right? So in other words, I don't spend much more time on it than that. But if you want to post more than that, the other thing I do is to use a Chrome extension or a plugin called DoShare. So D-O and then share. This tool allows you to queue posts to your Google Plus profile. Now you have to enter them manually, but if you've got an extra few minutes here and there, you can just queue, you know, this to post for you automatically over the next couple of weeks. Then it just runs in the background and posts for you. And I find, you know, I mean, for me, if I have one post per week for my podcast, for instance, on Google Plus, then maybe this allows me to do a second post for the week for Google Plus so that, you know, if you're posting about 2 to 3 times per week on your Google Plus profile, that's about enough, or at least I think so. So that's what I do with my profile, but here's what I do with my page and would recommend that you do the same as well. Since Twitter is by far my primary channel, I use Hootsuite to queue Twitter posts. So I set that up to post, you know, a few weeks in advance. But you can set up Hootsuite to post as your Google Plus page, not your profile, but as your page. So here's what I do. I just take my stack of Twitter posts that's already loaded there, and I just pick one of those per day, or really probably every other day, to my Google Plus page as well. So in other words, it's the very same tweet, the very same content. It's just posting to both places at the same time. Now, normally I would not recommend this strategy, but again, I'm not really trying to build a community around my Google Plus page. I'm just posting content for the search engines, and I don't want to overdo it. But so far in my tests, you know, I've not seen any negative impact to this. And honestly, I have to say it's not that positive either, but maybe just a little bit of a bump in search. And, you know, for the minimal amount of effort it takes, I think that little bump is worth it. Now, of course, I should also mention measurement in this, and I gotta say, this part's a little disappointing in Google+. For all they do with Google Analytics, which is just awesome, you'd expect more out of Google+. All you get is some very basic stuff, which is, you know, you can see who shared your post, who's given you a plus one, which is kind of like a like on Facebook, and you get sort of an aggregate of profile views, but it's kind of meaningless when it's all added up. So it's really hard to sort of see what's going on and then iterate based on a statistic. You know, Google probably feels like you can just use Google Analytics, and that's true, you know, and it's a great tool, and you should definitely set up your account in Google Analytics, hook up your website to that. But even just using the basic functionality gives you some great information and feedback, so you can be continually adjusting your strategy, but you won't find it in the app itself. Twitter, Facebook are excellent at this. LinkedIn, less so, but still gives you a lot more statistics than Google+, which is kind of too bad. So that's about it with Google+. You know, I always talk about broadcast versus bidirectional, you know, how important bidirectional communication is in social media. But in this case, I'm recommending mostly broadcast. But for you, try interacting with it yourself. You know, put some genuine effort into trying to find your community on Google+. Don't just listen to me and my recommendations here. Just because this works for me doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. Your audience is most definitely different than mine. So devise a set of goals, set a time frame, and then give it a real effort and see what happens. And even if it doesn't come through, it'd be good to know so that you can just move on. And you know, if that's the case, great. I've given you sort of, you know, an overview of how I handle this here, what my strategy is, and you can just use that one. And it doesn't take that much time. But if the opposite happens and it catches on and you find your community, that would be great. Now, either way, Google Plus is still a really important part of your strategy. Don't just assume that it's dormant or dead because of what you read about it, because what other people say, or, oh, I don't use that, or whatever. You want to be building these webhooks at the very least. Remember, it's Google's world. We're just living in it, and you really have to be there. But that being said, don't put a ton of energy into it. Just make sure that everything you do is really efficient with it. That's about it. So that's about all I have to say about Google Plus. And in the next segment of the social media strategy series here, I'm going to get into YouTube. Aside from search, YouTube is Google's crown jewel. Really important property for Google. And not only that, it's the second biggest search engine, second only to Google. So there's lots of great stuff that you can do with that. And everything that we talked about here in this episode will integrate with what you do on YouTube, which is kind of cool. But for now, if you like what you hear in this series, the podcast in general, please leave me a rating or review. I would really appreciate that. It really helps me. Please do continue to hit me up with questions. I'd love to hear from you guys. Usually I hear from you via email or via Twitter, but don't be afraid to leave a comment here on my show page too. Really appreciate that. So until next time, thank you as always for listening.